We're talking about the observance of a holiday, just in very general terms, that there is a structure to the holiday, the festivals, the three festivals, with the exception of Shavuos, which is one day. But by Shavuos, you have another phenomenon that the Rambam talks about this, that the day of Shavuos has a special significance because of the anticipation factor, the counting of the 49 days, which is an interesting idea, and that is, anything in Judaism requires preparation. A person has to put some energy, a person has to put some effort into it. So there are major themes associated with the holidays, like Pesach and Sukkos, major themes, of course Shavuos too, the receiving of the Torah. And it's impossible for a person to just stop what they're doing and transition and become involved in the themes of Pesach and the themes. By the way, there are specific themes, but I believe that there are universal themes in the holidays. Because the concept of the observance of the holiday is what we call Chetz Yel Hashem, to split up the day. Chetz Yel Hashem, half of it should be Lashem, and Chetz Yel Hashem, half of it should be for yourself. Which basically means the first half of the day until midday, judged by halachic hours, are dedicated to prayer. Go to shul. Ideally, the ideal way of doing it, although very few people do it this way, this is the way we do it in the yeshiva, that one gets up early and davens shachris with sunrise. Sunrise is the optimal time. In fact, now that we have the atomic clocks, it's calculated so that you arrive at Shemon Esrei exactly at the time of sunrise. Technically speaking, one can daven at dawn. The prime time is a sunrise. It's based upon a verse. Yira'ucha im shemesh. They will fear you with the sun, with the rising of the sun. However, if a person has to go on a trip and can't daven, well, today it's practical. Let's say you're going now, for example, they move the clock forward, so sunrise is about 7:20 now. I was going to start going back, obviously. But that can be pretty late. Let's say you have a flight. You have to be at the airport. And you have an 8 o'clock flight, something like that. 8 o'clock flight. So you have to leave the house earlier. You have to leave the house. So when are you going to daven? Well, you could daven at the airport, perhaps, but there's a lot of distraction. In a situation where one is traveling, or other reasons why a person will not be able to daven at the appropriate time and might even miss davening, so then you're permitted to daven from the time of dawn, which is approximately 72 minutes before. That's called b'di'eved. That's only if a person's in a unique situation, so they have certain permission to do it. But otherwise, ideally, the time to daven is sunrise. That is the optimal time. The person can do it, can get up early. And what you do in that case is you start the preliminary prayers. You have to realize when we talk about daven, we talk about prayer, we mean Shemon Esrei. That's the real prayer. Everything else is introductory to that. So that, let's say that the 7:20 would be sunrise, for argument's sake. And you calculate you need, say, 20 minutes. I don't know how much time, because this is subjective. To get from the very beginning to be at Shemona Esrei. Let's say it's 20 minutes, and then you would start at 7 o'clock. And exactly, today it's not that difficult. We have atomic clocks. If you don't, you can use it regularly. You know, you use the best judgment, obviously. So that you time it so that at 7:20 you do the Shemona Esrei. On a holiday, that would be the appropriate thing to do, because the first half of the day should be spent in service of Hashem, which includes two things. That is, it includes tefillah, prayer, then followed pretty much by learning until chatzos. The second half of the day is intended to be enjoying, to really enjoy. That's the concept. The concept is to enjoy life. But interestingly enough, according to the Rambam, it's not just any half of any half. It's the first half should be Lashem, and the second half is Lachem. To me, that makes perfect philosophical sense. although there are perhaps others that disagree. There is a law, halacha, that 30 days before a festival, one should begin to study the laws of the festival. So this is relevant, given that we'll be celebrating Pesach in less than 30 days. I'm going to do some selections over here from the Rambam. In Hilchos Yom Tov, Perek Vav, that is chapter 6, describes the manner in which one is obligated to observe the Yom Tov. And he says that just like it's a mitzvah to honor the Sabbath and to enjoy, to have oneg. How is it? To make it an enjoyable occasion. That's what he's saying. It's interesting just to hear that expression. That, again, people don't look at it that way, because a lot of people may go through the motions on Shabbos and they may eat the foods, but it's really to render it into a day of enjoyment. So it should be an enjoyable experience for a person to enjoy the Shabbos. What I mean is to really enjoy it, not just to say, okay, I ate a fine meal, but inwardly you're not enjoying yourself. First, it's a mitzvah for a person to enjoy himself on the Shabbos. To create a certain atmosphere, a certain festive atmosphere. Now he says, so too, all of the Yomim Tovim, all of the holidays, the same thing applies. That one is obligated to enjoy them. As it says, L'kdosh ad Hashem mechubad, that which is holy of Hashem should be honored. V'chol Yomim Tovim, and all of the Yom Tov, Ne'emar Behem, Mikra Kodesh, are referred to as a Kodesh, holy, a holy convocation, so to speak. And then he says, we've already explained the nature of the honor and the enjoyment in Hilchos Shabbos. So pretty much the Rambam applies the same category. That which obtains on Shabbos in terms of honor and enjoyment obtains on Yom Tov. And so too, it is fitting that a person should not eat a meal, should not have a seuda on Erev Yom Tov from Mincha Ulamayla. Mincha meaning 9.5 hours in the day. Just like Erev Shabbos. Because this too is part of the honor. So refraining from eating, anticipation. A major theme of the honor that's due to the Shabbos is the theme of anticipation. That's key. As we've discussed many times, many things pertain to Erev Shabbos. The essential theme of Erev Shabbos is Kavod Shabbos. It's a day of Kavod Shabbos based upon the concept of anticipation. That which we anticipate and that which we look forward to is a demonstration of reverence. That is, you can't just be, if something significant is happening or somebody significant is coming, you don't just, you're in your ordinary, that day is like any other day. And then the person comes. That's not the case. The day when someone special is coming, you're already, you get up, that day is different already. And you're doing things, you're anticipating, your whole focus is on the advent, on the coming of that particular person. Then he says, V'chol ha'mavaza es ha'moados, whoever degrades the festivals, ki'ilu nitpal lavodos kachavim. Wow, that's very, very serious. It is though the person is involved in idolatry. That is to say, it's not overt, obviously. The person is not overtly engaged in idol worship, but it means it's similar. It's trying to convey to you, obviously, how serious this is. Bizui hamawados. What exactly is bizui hamawados, though? What do you mean? A person's going to stand there? Who are we talking about? Someone who's making fun out of the moed? Making fun out of the holiday? What does that mean? What does it mean by, how would a person be guilty of such a thing? Most people either observe or don't observe. Well, what's the bizui? It's interesting, in Judaism, this term of bizui, that is to degrade something, it can manifest itself in very subtle ways. It doesn't have to only be an open derision to make fun out of something. The Rambam says that the category of Dvar Hashem Baza, the word, literally the word of God, did they degrade? I don't have the exact source right now, but he applies it even to people that at one point in time they were involved in learning, and they sort of turn away from learning. They turn away and get involved in other pursuits. Not because of necessity, obviously, but simply because they don't have the same desire or the same interest. So even if that's not the intention, is to degrade, but that itself is, objectively speaking, the way in which you relate to Torah. Is there such a thing as an objective degradation? That is, if you valued it, if you recognized its significance, you would relate to it in a certain way. What would be a category, then, of being mavaza, the moados, the bizui, the degradation? Is it a conscious phenomenon? Well, then the person doesn't believe in the Torah. But I would say that if a person treats it like it's like any other normal day, he doesn't recognize it. It could quite be that it is a failure to recognize it in any way. That is, the person acts, behaves as though it's an ordinary day. Dresses, does not give any recognition to the fact that it's a moed. It seems to me that this has become prevalent in this day and age, not consciously. I'm not saying that people are doing it consciously, and it could be that there's a misunderstanding. I think with Chol HaMoed, there is a need for it to be reinforced. That people have lost the idea that Chol HaMoed is really the holiday. To all intents and purposes, many people treat it like Chol, completely like Chol, and they think that they could do anything they want to do. And in terms of how they dress, in terms of the activities that they're engaged in, it's like a vacation. It's basically like a vacation. Without any connection to the theme, or without any awareness that one needs to honor the day and observe the day and so forth. I'm thinking about, for example, dieting. If a person has a regimen, a dieting regimen, now I'm not assuming that this is a major illness thing or a health situation, that it could be dangerous if they go off it. Just, you know, for ordinary, you want to look nice and all that. Then, however, those are not the foods that you really enjoy. Then I would say you're really not permitted to diet on Shabbos, and you're not permitted to diet on the Yom Tov, and including the Chol HaMoed. Now, that doesn't mean to say that you're obligated to stuff yourself and to gain a lot of weight, because you can enjoy in moderation. There's nothing... But the foods that one eats should signify, should be reflective of the holiday spirit, should be festive foods on Shabbos and on the Moed. There's no question that... I can understand how it could appear to be inconvenient for some people. The inconvenience itself, it's not that inconvenient from the Torah. The Torah has the first day is a Yom Tov, you can't go to work, and the last day. Well, the truth is, even during the week, if you observe it properly, you shouldn't go to work unless there's going to be a loss. So a person, there's a danger of losing their jobs, and then it's okay. But it becomes a little bit more difficult now because we observe 2 days. Every time we have 1 day, we observe 2 days because of the, to remember the fact that we're in exile. Well, we should just seek to understand the concept. But before we do so, what is the connection? The Rambam said that there's a connection between the degrading of the Moed and the Avodah Zarah factor. If a person has to go to work in Chol HaMoed for legitimate reasons, halachically, they still can observe the Moed. That is, when they come home, they dress up and they eat nice clothing, so you should do your best. That would not be bizui. That would not be degradation. Degradation is when you just act as though it's nothing. It's like an ordinary day. I think it has to do with the fact, the understanding the significance of the Moedim. It's true that there's a certain general theme, that the general idea of spending one's time, the real ideal type of existence where there's a harmony between the physical and the real purpose, the soul, the spiritual, the intellectual, that a person is different. A person should not be a slave to labor like an animal all their lives. That you need time to refresh yourself, to abstain from labor. Labor is just a means to an end. However, for most people, their whole life becomes their labor or their work. Their work becomes their life. That's probably the biggest challenge. It doesn't mean necessarily only labor. I mean, big businessmen, people that don't do the physical stuff, but they're completely engrossed in their work. And the work becomes the entire essence of their lives, instead of the true purpose. All your energy is being sapped, but the true purpose to work on your soul and to gain knowledge and to perfect yourself, that is lost as a real goal. That is the work. It's supposed to be that the Torah is keva. The Torah is supposed to be central, fundamental, and the work is secondary to that. But in reality, it's the work becomes not just central, but it becomes all-consuming for most people. And whatever time they have left over, it's just to relax. But not do anything more than relax. It's just basically to relax and be entertained. But not to really devote time to true improvement. So that's one of the themes of the Moadim, that Hashem gives us times so that we shouldn't be completely consumed with labor. A person has time off. And not just for the sake of the time off, to use it for the appropriate goal. So as far as that's concerned, one should structure his Yom Tov that way. Spending roughly, try to divide your time between the service of Hashem and rejuvenation to really enjoy yourself. But the two are connected, it seems to me. That the enjoyment of the day, of the physical rest, and then that is connected to the real theme, to the real purpose. Now, as far as that's concerned, it doesn't make that much difference what you're learning. You could be learning any area of Torah. Although, in general, all things being equal, during Pesach, a person is involved in the themes of Pesach. It's interesting that it has that effect. See, the Torah understood that when is a person going to really be involved in the ideas of a Chag? Really, you could study about Hanukkah in the summertime if you want, as a subject, and sometimes you do. There's two things. There are two things that involve a person. One is the fact that you establish it as a particular subject of study. So you want to, this year you're going to be studying the Gemara of Hanukkah. So then you're involved in Hanukkah. That's one thing. But there's something a little bit lacking in that it's not, you're not practicing it. When you're practicing it, it brings about, it gets you involved in the ideas. It's interesting, this year I didn't have a chance to do too much on the Megillah before Purim. But then Purim came and we read the Megillah and then we observed Purim and we started talking about it, so then I got more involved. And now, to after Purim, and now I'm giving a shiur on Purim tonight. Not actually on Purim so much as the Megillah, what the ideas are, or why it's so significant. It sort of draws you in. It draws you in by forcing you to do certain observances. And, well, of course, if a person's approach is that he just does them perfunctorily because he's given up hope, he just does them, so it's not going to make that much difference. But all things being equal, a person's bound to start asking questions when you're doing it. And you're preparing for the event and you're doing the mitzvot, that's the time. So you want to know, why am I doing it? What's the reason? It gets you focused on the issues. That's the case, that's the opening day. The opening day is mitzvos to do, it's the holiday. So that obviously you've anticipated it, you've prepared, and then you've actually done it, and it evokes a lot of thinking. It sets the tone. If you have a vibrant kind of a Seder, it's not, most people's Seder, again, is perfunctory, it's the perfunctory Seder. I don't think that in most houses, the next day, they're thinking about issues that came up during the Seder. I don't think you're going to have that. In other words, the conversation at lunch, that is lunch on the first day, of course the first night is the Seder, lunch at the first day, I don't think you can have this conversation. I was really thinking about that idea we said, that pshat we said, and that Haggadah, and this thing, and the question you raised, and I wasn't satisfied, so I'm suggesting, you're not going to have that. Most people's conversations will revolve around how long did yours go, and the wine was so, either it was good, or it was smooth, or it wasn't good, and I have a headache. Where are you going to have any kind of discussion? So there's different kinds of performance. You see, that's the story in the Haggadah itself, that they stayed up all night. And they were completely engrossed. So what's the idea? Doesn't it seem from there that it's a trigger? It's supposed to trigger something, and once it triggers it, you keep going. And once you're going, you can't stop. It puts you into a different frame. Now, I think that's the idea, and that continues. So now you can't just say, that's it, it's over, let's go back. I mean, so now you've already set the tone. All things being equal, it would seem that during the Chag, people will study subject matter that's related to that Chag itself. It doesn't have to be that way, though, because the Torah, that's just the nature of Torah. Torah is so interconnected that in the Haggadah, you know, there's so many points of departure to so many different areas of the Torah that it doesn't necessarily have to be, strictly speaking, a Pesach theme. It's a Torah theme. It's interconnected. And then you continue. That's the whole point. You continue without that factor, though. See, without that Chet Yil Hashem, without that part of the, let's put it more practically, part of the day. Without setting aside a time for Torah study, it's going to be like any other day. I would therefore suggest that, particularly on the Chag, it's a good idea for a person to set aside a time. Now, how much time depends upon the individual, what their parameters are, their schedules are, and so forth. But doing that gives the day a certain character. It sets the tone. It brings home to you the nature of the experience. Now, that being the case, so the person is going through a change. The days of the Chag, the intermediate days, there's more learning and more learning, and then it reaches a conclusion, so to speak, in which you're a changed individual, and the experience of the Kedusha, of the holiness at the end of the Chag, it's a tzeres, it's sort of like a review. And it... That's the purpose. That is the essence of the Chag. It leads you to a certain conclusion. And then one person experiences that... Because now you're going back. So there's a point... Just like on Shabbos, for example, there is the entry point that was supposed to sanctify the day when we enter the day with Kiddush. And then you can't just go back as though nothing happened. You got to make Avdallah. There's a departure. There's a point of departure. In this case, it's a similar idea that there's a day of holiness at the entry point, at the beginning, to initiate the Chag. And then you can't just walk away from it. Then there's a day of holiness at the conclusion. It's a sort of a different phenomenon. There should be a change, that you've experienced something as a result. And there's an element of gratitude, of hodaya, and there's the element of now you're returning into ordinary mundane existence as a changed person, to take all the lessons and to apply them to the re-entry point. You could not have it any other way. I mean, for example, if you had a visit, you're going to spend time with a great king. So there's the point when you first greet, the first, you know, the initial meeting, which sets the tone, the keynote, so to speak. And then, you know, you break up, you discuss things, you know, you have a certain amount of time. And then before you go back, you know, you get back together again. The final, that's the farewell. There's the keynote, then there's the farewell. That makes perfect sense. In many areas, you'll find this type of a phenomenon. Let's say you're going to Israel for the first time, a tour. So at the outset, there's a meeting. And there's some speeches and orientation. Let's put it this way. You have to get oriented why it's important and what we're trying to achieve when we're here and so on and so forth. And setting out the tone. And then you experience, you know, you go through the various experiences. Then before you leave, you want to take it all together. It's got to be some kind of a conclusion that it leads to. So everybody, we've been through this and we share experiences of what we've... And now we reflect upon what we've achieved and how we've been affected by it. And then we can go. So that's just normal. I think that the reason why the Rambam says, though, getting back to the one who degrades the Moadim, is because it's not just general ideas. The Moadim are the remembrances of the fundamentals of Yahadus. They really, all of them reflect back on Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, that it's all a remembrance of the Exodus. The remembrance of the Exodus is establishing the fundamentals of the existence of Hashem, that God is eternal, and that everything stems from Hashem. Those are the fundamentals. Ideas, the three regalim, the three moadim, of course the other ones, these concepts apply to the other ones as well. They all revolve around the idea of Hashem. And one who negates the moed, that's why the penalties are very severe. For example, eating matzah. The penalty for matzah is kares. That's the destruction of the soul. That's the loss of... the penalty for eating chametz. They say, not matzah. That's akin to working on Shabbos. Working on Shabbos is serious, very serious, because the whole idea of Chilul Shabbos is the concept, is the significance of the... It's not the doing of work per se, but rather doing work is a negation of the idea of creation, that the Shabbos really stands for creation, that God created the world in 6 days. And on the seventh day, God desisted. If you recognize that concept, that abstract concept, so our desisting from work is an expression of that idea. Thus, if a person works on that day, he's saying that that day is no different than the other day, so then he's denying Hashem, basically. That's why it's so serious. That's why Shabbos is so serious. And the same is true with regard to the chametz, matzah. That's what we say. You have to know the reasons. That's one of the most important parts of the Haggadah, is to enunciate the reason of matzah. What is matzah? That the speed, the haste of the Exodus, that it happened so quickly. It happened so quickly that the Jews had to leave in a hurry, because that is the dramatic demonstration of the interference of Hashem in the process of history. That's what the Rambam says. Remember, the Rambam special edition, V'golam Miyad, that the Jews were redeemed immediately, the immediacy of the situation, that there was no time. The fact that there was no time is crucial, is key to the whole idea, as Rabbi Soloveitchik explains, because is it a natural phenomenon? The doubters, the deniers, turn to nature. And they say nature is a self-sustaining thing. It's natural. All this, everything is natural. The design of the world, everything, it's natural, it happens by itself. It could take billions and billions and billions of years. Everything is natural. They deny creation. And the same is true, what they say, in terms of history. Just natural forces. These are people that can't get beyond natural forces and acknowledge the existence of the Creator. So that the Shabbos is, we say, Yom Tchilul Mikrai Kodesh. This is the first of the holy convocations is Shabbos. Because Shabbos is creation. Everything else is connected to the idea of creation. Different dimensions. The fact that God sustains the world, the fact that God rules the world, that God intervenes in the course of nature. That's matzah. So chametz is the opposite of matzah. It's a negation of matzah. Chametz takes time. The dough rises. That's a reflection of the ordinary course of events. So on this day, we refrain, this week, this holiday, we refrain from chametz, because of the concept, the intellectual significance of it, that it affirms the natural process and the denial of miracles. So really, that's what matzah is, affirming miracles. The miracles is, of course, key to our whole understanding of Hashem, that Hashem created the world from nothing, and Hashem is the ruler of the world. The same is true with regard to Sukkos. Kibas Sukkos Hoshavti. It's a continuation of that. For I caused the Jews to dwell in Sukkos when I took them out of the land of Egypt. So there too, the whole wilderness experience, that God guided us through the wilderness. And the idea that the ultimate security for man, the ultimate protection for man, cannot be found in anything physical. It has to do with living a certain way of life. That when we live a certain way of life, which is in line with the divine plan, then we are assured of God's protection. Now, those are the idea of the Mo'adim. If a person denies the Mo'adim, he's saying that it's all the same. Every day of the year is the same. He's not just engaged in this degradation, but it partakes of Avodah Zarah, because the underlying principles of the Mo'adim are to affirm fundamentals about Hashem. Of course, the Shavuos is affirming what other fundamental? Revelation. That the creator of the universe is the one who reveals his plan, so to speak. The true religion, the ultimate system for how man ought to live his life. So these are the basic themes. And thus, once we take them into consideration, so we have to honor these days. You have to honor these days. The failure to honor the Shabbos is basically, underneath it all, there's like a denial, even though it's not explicit. Implicitly, it's like nothing to you. It doesn't mean anything to you. So you're taking everything for granted. So you're denying, in a sense, I'm not saying consciously, but the activity, the behavior, or the so-called body language is one of taking life for granted. It just has to be. We have to exist. There is no appreciation. There's no appreciation for our existence. It's something that's taken for granted. Therein lies a certain arrogance, a certain denial of Hashem. It's the beginning of a certain arrogance. That we are the masters of our own fate, and everything depends upon what we do. So we work, we fashion, we create our existence. We are the creators of our existence. Now we're just going to discuss a brief idea from Chumash.